I'm not sure if it's a tradition in every home in America, but in most families, I've seen this in quite a few houses. You'll come into a house, and if a family's been raising young children, somewhere in the house, there's intentionally little lines put up on a wall. There's little marks there, and somebody's wrote a little date and an initial, you know, and you've watched those little marks grow up until pretty soon, as I can recall, you're starting to put marks. I had to get on chairs with my kids and, okay, here's how tall they are. I can't see the top of their heads anymore. And they always thought that was exceptional fun, was to look down upon Dad's head and mention the condition that it was in and various things like that. But, you know, you measure your children's physical growth. You can look at that and say, well, boy, they're really moving on. You know, I mean, I can remember being in that spot. It's kind of a scary thing as a kid when you're growing up. You wonder, whose genes are you going to get? You guys know what I'm talking about? You know, Dad was 6 foot, Mom was 5 foot. Like, hey, you know. And all of a sudden, I just like parked it from about fourth grade on, you know. Could not make 5 foot tall. Could not make 5 foot tall. I was just so wanting to be 5 foot tall. Mr. Eagles, I still hold it against him. No, I think I've forgiven him, but 4'11 and 3/4 is what he wrote down as my measurement my eighth grade year. I'm like, come on, that's 5 foot. No, it's not. You're not there. You know what I'm talking about? That kind of feeling. You say, man, I want to be taller. I want to be something else. And I think sometimes as Christians, that's what we're trying to do. It's like, oh, you know, I can remember some of my buddies and I, we'd hang on the monkey bars. I wonder if this would make us taller. Of course, we hang by our feet too, but that's a whole different story. But you know, try to stretch yourself. Try to be what? A little larger than you were. Try to be a little more than you were. And I think sometimes in Christianity, we can kind of go after it that way. We're trying to be more than we are, as opposed to just pressing on to the maturity that Christ has for us. To the maturity that he wants to build into us. Because, you know, we can measure the height of a child with the ruler, but you cannot measure your maturity with the ruler. You can't measure your maturity by external things. It's an internal relationship of how are you responding to the King of Kings. See, what we did when we were checking our height is, how am I responding to the yardstick of inches? What we're talking about when it comes to the maturity as a believer is, how am I responding to the measure of the stature of the fullness which belongs to Christ, according to Ephesians 4? It's am I growing into Christ-likeness? And in the verses we're going to look at here today, Paul proclaims his pursuit of maturity. He says, this is what I'm going after. It's kind of interesting because he doesn't exactly say, this is what you have to do. And he gets after that in a few places, you know, in this book. We've been talking about that. Rejoice always. He's not too subtle about that, is he? But here he just says, this is what I'm doing. But the Bible says that whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through the perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So as we look at his story, as we look at his lifestyle, I believe he provides us a pattern for maturity. He provides us some principles for maturity that I think can change the way you look at life. It can change the way you're handling things. And so as I speak today, I'm going to believe that God is going to be inviting you into a different perspective. He's going to be inviting you into a different place. So let's just take a look here in Philippians chapter 3, because this issue of maturity is critical. Because I have discovered that growing old is automatic, but maturity is optional. You know what I'm talking about? You know, some people choose not to grow up. God wants us to grow up. Look how he puts it here and how he expresses his desire to become a mature person in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained it or that I have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do. One thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Because I'm pressing on. So God has a plan for producing maturity in you. Just like your parents worked at having a plan for producing maturity. You may not have liked it. You may not have cooperated with it. It may not even have been a good plan. But they were doing things to intentionally bring you to a place of maturity. But you have discovered now, those of you that are parents, that unless that child chooses to cooperate with the parent, you can't make your children mature, can you? As I always said, I could never make them behave either. I can only make them wish that they'd behaved. Now that's part of that maturity process, isn't it, right? You give them the consequences of the choices and let them make those choices. So he says here, though, it's an interesting thing on the idea of pressing on to maturity. He says, I have not attained it. Now sometimes I don't know whether to take this as encouraging or discouraging. Okay? Because if Paul isn't there yet, I can't see him from here. Do you know what I'm talking about? He is out there, isn't that right? We tend to look at Paul and say, oh yeah, man, he's the man. He did not attain to it. He did not fulfill it yet. He says that twice here. He says, I do not think that I've become perfect. I'm just pressing on. He said, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. So here's the first principle that I've come across, is that spiritual maturity is a process. Spiritual maturity is a process to be pursued, not a destination to be arrived at. And I think most people say, oh yeah, yeah, I understand that. I know I haven't arrived. Have you arrived in anything? You see, as soon as you think you have, you're done. You're done. That is a great danger, because the Bible says that pride goes before a fall. Hey, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? Proverbs says, there's more hope for a fool than for him. A guy that thinks he's got there, he says, he's done. He's not going to make any further progress. So he says, the Bible encourages us to have this kind of perspective. So Paul tells us this. He says, here's my perspective. I'm in a process. And I'm pursuing it. It is an active, engaged process to see myself become more mature, to see myself be strengthened. And we have to continue doing that spiritually. Many of you are doing that physically, isn't that right? And if you are like me, as you've begun to age, all of a sudden you recognize this body doesn't condition near as quick as it used to, and it doesn't hang on to the condition I used to, that I reach very long. It fades pretty fast, and so I have to keep pursuing. I can't say, you know, I was in perfect condition in 1976, so I'm still there today. But when you listen to some Christians talk, they talk about, you know, when I was, and what do? They go back and they talk about the maturity they had 2 decades, 3 decades ago, the experiences they used to have. And Paul says, hey, I got someplace to go. I'm going to press on. And so we need to be those who will press on. And here's, I'm just going to give you a couple two-word thoughts as we go through some of this. And the first one here on this idea of pressing on is this: admit immaturity. Admit immaturity. Now, I want you to help the person next to you, okay? You've been waiting to do this for a long time. Now you can do this under pastoral instruction. So you turn to the person next to you and you tell them, admit immaturity. Go ahead, invite them to do that this morning. See, now, if somebody came up to you this morning and said, you are not mature yet, does that give you an attitude? Does that kind of seem offensive to you? What's being offended? Your pride. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to offend your pride. I'm here to kill it. It is the largest thing that keeps you from walking in an intimate relationship with God as you think you're there and you're not. So admit your immaturity. And this is a continual struggle and for all of us. Because you kind of say, oh, I think I got that one down, Lord. I'm ready for the next one. You know, and sometimes we wonder why he's taking us on another lap, you know. But Romans 12 says, in fact, you can turn me if you'd like to over there. We won't be there long. But in this whole idea of presenting yourselves in Romans 12, you know, giving yourself to God, renewing your mind to think rightly, at the end of that, he says in verse 3, Romans 12, 3, he says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Don't deceive yourself. Here's another way to think about the question. Do you know where you are not at yet? Hey? See, sometimes when you're lost, the whole idea is, hey, where am I? You know, you look at one of those maps and it says, you are here. That's important. You would open up the word on a daily basis to say, where am I? And that's good. Say, okay, here's where I am. But do you know where you're not? Here's where he wants me to be. Because for some of you, you are so far beyond where you used to be. And you are so happy that you're not what you used to be. It's pretty easy to pull up a chair and sit down. You know, I want to do that this morning. Where did they go? You know, you just want to relax. Paul says, I'm pressing on. I'm not where I once was. But I'm not where he intends me to be. So what's the problem? Here's the problem. Why I think this idea of admitting immaturity is so critical. It is very difficult to learn what you think you already know. Very difficult. It's not impossible. God knows how to use larger sizes pieces of lumber. Okay? But it's just hard sometimes. If you think you're there, he says, oh, really? Okay, we can show you that. So we have to open up to that. And so an awareness of not being as mature as Christ wants me to be, as not being the husband that Christ wants me to be, not being yet all of the father that Christ wants, and not being all of the shepherd that Christ wants, of not being all of the believer, not having that kind of faith in all the ways that he wants. If I know that, then I'm more open to his instruction. And that's what I believe the desire here, is that I become open to instruction. And so a key step towards maturity is acknowledging your need of it. And to be able to say this and think about this, you might even just try this week, is you come to God in the morning, and instead of trying to tell God how good you've been or tell God how good you want to be, can you come like Solomon and say, I am such a child. Will you please make me wise? Will you give me that desire? When that gets hold of you, it changes you. One of our Sunday school teachers taught that truth in such a way that one of my sons came home from a Sunday school class, and every night when we prayed together for months, he said, Lord, make me wise. It's not I am, it's make me. There's a pursuit there. There's a desire there. So as long as I'm trying to appear that I'm there, I'm stuck. See? So that's why we've got to get out of this Western culture of image impressing. To move to that spot where I say, okay, I got my spiritual GPS. You know, I know right where I am. Whoa! According to God's plan, I got some distance ahead of me. So I need to acknowledge that. And you can think you know where you're going. You can think you know how to get there. And you can even be making great strides. But if you need a little instruction on that, look at Christopher Columbus. Look at him and say, wow, you know, hey, he was a great achiever. Way off track. Yeah, he named it the West Indies, right? Named it the Indies. Why? Because he thought he was in the East Indies. He wasn't there at all. But he thought he was there. Began naming places like he was there. Think about it. We got maturity ahead of us. And so the question is, as you look at your own maturity, all right, this is one of the questions that I see. It's not, did I do something? Because I think there's a tendency to measure ourselves by, did I do this or did I do that? But am I growing stronger? Now, many of you have seen our discipleship wheel and those different spokes, that how the life flows out of the life of Christ. And we want to be growing in worship and in fellowship and evangelism and in prayer and in ministry and the word. Those are all core values for us. And I can look at it and say, you know what? I've been studying the word for a long time. I'm not there yet. It's not all inside of me. I haven't grasped it all. And so every time when I come to it, and I am still using this, it may not be a tool that works for you, but it works for me, is a little Bible bookmark with a set of questions where I'm saying, you know, is there a command in here today that I need to obey? When I get to the bottom, every time of my reading, I want to say, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? You know, I don't ever want to become like that guy that was standing on the temple steps and say, Lord, I'm so glad I'm not like those other people. I don't want to get there. I need to keep moving. What do I need to do? So Paul says, I am someone who recognizes I have not obtained it. So I've admitted my immaturity. But then notice the next thing he says. Because sometimes I find people, that's exactly where they stop. You know, I am so immature, I'm never going to get there. It doesn't even matter. I've tried so hard, I just quit. Ever felt like that? Paul says, I press on. So I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ. I want to lay hold of, I want to get a grip on the purpose that God got a grip on me for. You understand that when God called you out, when God called you into Christ, when Jesus Christ saved your soul, he laid hold of you, didn't he? Some of you, he had to drag into the kingdom, you know? He laid hold of you, and he laid hold of you for a purpose. There was something he wanted to do in your life. And he says, I'm pressing on because I know that purpose has not yet fully been attained. Athletes oftentimes will compete not against just the other person, but against their own time. They're wanting to see their own maturity. They want to get their own best time. They want to perceive their own best mark. They're saying, I'm going to push ahead. You see, if you measure yourself by other people, I'm here to tell you, there's two things you're going to find. What is it? One is that you are better in your achievements than a whole bunch of people around you. You're doing better than a lot of other people who are screwing up worse than you're screwing up. Okay? And so you can take great pride in that. Or you can depress yourself with saying, you know, I look at somebody else, and there's somebody else that's going for it more than I am, and I'm just not making that kind of progress. If you compare yourself to others, you will never grow in the way he wants. He says, look at Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus and take a step. What's the next step he has for you? Press on means step forward. That's the idea, that you would pursue maturity. See? You admit your immaturity, then pursue maturity. You see, the temptation is to park at a vista point. And wow, look at where we've come through. And friends, I believe in stopping at vista points for a visit. Visit the vista point. Somebody's laughing up here in the front row about how many times we stop at vista points. But yeah, and I like to take pictures even at vista points. Isn't that right? But so, don't stay there. That is not the campground. Keep moving on. Keep making progress. He says, why did Christ lay hold of us? Well, look what it says in Matthew 4:19. And he said to them, read it with me. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, two things he points out here. He says, he laid hold of you that you would submit yourself to him, that you would go after a deeper relationship with him in every relationship that you have in life, that you would follow his will. You see, the idea of just me and Jesus sounds pretty cool. You know, that's what a lot of us are like. You know, I would be a fine Christian if it wasn't for those other Christians. You know, I've talked to other pastors. That's what they said. You know, I'd be a really good pastor if it wasn't for those people. What? But see, the other relationships are part of the process. And so he says, follow me. So put your eyes upon me. And he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to put you into a relational contact with others that you're going to impact the people around you. And friends, I'm here to tell you that you are. And when you're doing what you can do as you follow Christ, he will use you. I was having lunch this week with Paul, and we were discussing worship and how we could strengthen our worship experience here at the church. And what was encouraging is that we were coming out of the restaurant was to look and see Pass the Word Bibles, Jerome Prairie Bibles are sitting there being displayed. Because somebody's doing what he can do to get the job done. Can't do everything, but he can do something. And somebody in our body sees to it that Bibles are around in all sorts of places throughout this town. Say, I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to press on. And so he says, follow me. And he says, that's what I laid hold of you for, that you'd become a follower and then you become what? An influencer. You see that? That you're a follower and an influencer, that both those things take place. He said, well, I was laid hold of. Is that true of you? I was laid hold of? Have you ever got that? I was laid hold of for a purpose. We're saved by grace. We're saved by faith. But we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we'd walk in them. And so I was laid hold of to proclaim the excellencies of him who called me out of darkness into the marvelous light. See, I was laid hold of to be conformed into the image of Christ, to become more like Christ. So he says, I'm pushing on for that. And then notice how he pursues, because he explains something that will help you. If you're in that spot like I am sometimes, you're going, why am I not making progress in this area like I want to? I've prayed for patience. How come I don't have it yet? You know, and you stand there in front of the microwave and say, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. That's the American culture, is it not? But look what he says, verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. And he describes two things. But it's all one thing. This is how he pursues. He says, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. He describes that as one thing. Isn't that interesting? He says, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. What he's really saying is the one thing I do is I press on, but he describes what it takes to be a pressing on person. See, you can agree with God that maturity is a process. It's not just a destination. That there's a process that I'm to pursue. But then what is it that's slowing you down? What is it that's holding you back? In Hebrews 12, he says that I'm to lay aside every sin and every encumbrance that entangles me and run with endurance the race that's set before me. So here's the second principle that I see here. That pursuing spiritual maturity requires laying aside one's past and reaching forward to God's purpose. See? I think a lot of times this is we want to reach forward to our future. We've got our own plans. We've got our own ideas. No, he says, I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That someday, if Jesus Christ is coming back for me, he's going to call for me, and I will stand before him accountable to say, how have you been doing at following me and making disciples? And so I lay aside the past. I reach forward to God's purpose. Are you focused? Some of you are a little ADD like me, and you can appreciate the fact you start a project and you go after a tool to do the project, and then you see that there was another tool that wasn't put away, and you start to put that tool away, and then you see something else that wasn't done, and you all of a sudden you can't even remember what you started doing in the first place. He says, hey, I'm focused. Forget what lies behind. That's pretty easy to say, isn't it? Isn't that pretty simple? Just forget what lies behind. Yeah. Can you force yourself to forget? The harder you try to forget, the more you are occupied with your past. You can choose not to focus on the past. You can choose to focus on his purpose. But forgetting the past is a process as well. Because you have a past. Go ahead, tell the person next to you that. You have a past. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what some of you think about that. You do. That can be almost embarrassing when you start thinking about that. But it's past. Go ahead and tell them that too. But it's past. It's past. All right? And if it's past, I think we're using it over here. Is that right? Okay, the past is over here. Okay. So if it's past, then choose not to live there. Choose not to live there. Don't be talking about all those former mistakes, all that former stuff that's been done to you. Get out of being a victim, beyond being a victor, and go after it with Christ. Yesterday is done. You cannot do anything else about it except renew your mind to have a biblical perspective about it. And the reason most people, I think, don't leave their past, and I'm somebody who's been doing some processing of my own in my past, we don't leave our past is because we've never chosen to renew our mind to the truth, to develop a biblical perspective about that abuse, to develop a biblical perspective about that addiction problem, to develop a biblical perspective about that failure that I had in my life, or that rejection that I experienced, or that sickness that I went through. And we've never come to a spot where we're seeing that God's way, and so it keeps biting you. And it's like a chain that ties you down. And I'm here to say, focus on Christ. Process the pain of your past at the cross. At the cross. You see, failures and successes are lessons. They're not your identity. That's a lesson. That's something you've been through. If you learn from it, it becomes a lesson. If you go living in the past, you'll never be living in the present. So we have to keep pursuing it. So what needs to go? You need to let go of some things. Past failures. Okay, here you go. Is your arm loose? You ready for this? How many of you have sinned in your past? Some of you are sinning presently because you're not admitting your past sin. Okay? All right. I've got a verse for you. It's right here, Romans 8:1. Read it with me. Let's start that again. Here we go. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Read that again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How much?
None.
So quit condemning yourself. If you got a sin issue that needs to be resolved, take it to the cross. If something's been brought to your mind that you're feeling guilty about, you go to the cross. If you've already been to the cross, then praise God for the Christ of the cross who forgives you every sin, every stupid sin, every rebellious sin. He forgives it all. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let it go. Let go of your past failures. It's been fully paid for. Can you imagine? The Bible would be describing Abraham as a liar in Hebrews 11. But that's not how it describes him, is it? It describes him as a man of faith. Why? Because he moved past. We'd be describing Peter. As a denier. Instead, we recognize him as a great preacher and an apostle. Friends, every saint in the Bible sinned. And you are now a saint in Christ Jesus. But you're a saint that sins. But you have a Savior that forgives. Move past that. Move past the sins of others against you. And I'm just going to call it this. I know it's a little blunt. But past the abuse. Past the verbal abuse, the physical abuse, the sexual abuse, the child abuse, whatever it was that somebody else has done to you, take that to the cross. You can be chained to your past that somebody else did. And forgiveness frees you from the insidious evil that comes by other people's sins against you. You know, we think of forgiveness freeing us from our sins, but forgiveness can also free you from the wounds that come from other people. Because as you forgive as Christ forgave you, you're set free. You're set free from that. So reach for that, friends. Joseph, did he have a reason to be bitter? Oh, yeah. He says, "You meant it for evil." Did he understand his brothers? Oh, yeah. He says, God meant it for good. What did he do? He changed his perspective about it. He developed a godly perspective about it. He wasn't saying it didn't happen. He didn't say it was okay. What he says was, God's okay, and God's bigger than whatever somebody else has done to you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You take that and you walk that forward. Don't stay in your past. There's another one that's tough. This one, it's kind of insidiously tough. It's not hard, tough. Past victories. Forget what lies behind. Whatever you've achieved, that's past. Yesterday's hits will not win today's ballgame. You got to let it go. You got to get up to play it again and go after it. It's a new day. Let the past be past. I read this the other day. I thought this was pretty good. Take from the altars of your past the fire, not the ashes. Take the fire and let's go forward. So what does he say? He says, forgetting what lies behind, I reach forward to what lies ahead. And the idea of reaching forward is I'm stretching out You've seen that, haven't you, sometimes with athletes? Well, they're reaching for the goal line, and they'll actually go under the tape. You know, you see that guy reaching across in football with the ball. He just, all I got to do is break the plane. I'm going to reach. I'm going to do everything I can to break the plane of a win with God. Are you reaching? Question, where? You know, I mean, if you're reaching, that means there's a forward motion being made by you in a particular area. Isn't that right? I mean, I'm not reaching right now, am I? Reaching is going forward. See, what are you doing that's going to move you forward? How are you reaching forward in your prayer life? How are you reaching forward as a witness, as a parent, as a grandparent? What are you saying? I'm not going to stay where I am. I'm going to reach forward. Get out of the rocker and run. Don't give it up. Let's go forward. That's God's plan for you. Process your past. Move on. You let go. You move on. What does he say? I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Someday soon, there's going to be a trumpet. There's going to be a voice that says, come up hither. And I will stand before my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe that every day I have until that day is worth reaching forward for. Because it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. I'm going to be held accountable for that. And what's Christ pursuing in you? We've already seen that. That I would be a follower and an influencer. All right? So what does it mean to reach forward? Well, it means you're going to do something different. Okay? With your quiet time, you want to be deeper, you're going to have to do something different. With your worship, you want to be bold. You want to change. You're going to have to do something different. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Isn't that clear? It is the definition of insanity to do the exact same thing and expect different results. Move on, step up. All right? Change some practices. And then he says this, last thing. Let us therefore as many as are perfect. What? As many as are complete. As many as are maturing is the way that you could read that. Have this attitude. What attitude? The pressing on attitude. Okay? The idea that I'm not there yet attitude. The idea that I want to become mature attitude. And he says if you've got a different attitude, get this. God will reveal that to you. Have you ever noticed that God can show you your attitude? Yeah, sometimes he uses other people to do it. You may not always enjoy that process, but he can show you your attitude. He says, however, verse 16, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. You've made great progress. Now keep making the progress. Do you know what? People lose weight in this country all the time. People go on all sorts of diets. I believe it's a $40 billion industry. That's a lot of money. How many people keep off the weight that they lose? 5 out of 100 after 3 years. That's it. 5 out of 100. 95% of the people do not maintain the progress that they made. And I'm here to tell you, it's probably because they didn't deal with the past. See, that's why that forgetting what lies behind is important to make progress in what lies ahead. Criminals getting out of jail, you'd think if you spent a bunch of time in jail, you would be excited to get out and you'd never go back. 67% return within 3 years. 44% within the first 6 months. You got to deal with your past, but then you got to keep moving forward. He says, I am going to reach forward. I am going to live by the standard I maintain. Friends, don't backslide, is what I'm saying. You've got to where you are. That's good. Now keep going forward. The best way to keep from backsliding is to run forward. You ever watch a guy playing football do that? He thinks he's going to go forward, and he does this lateral thing, right? You run sideways. I remember the coaches always telling you, don't run sideways. Run forward with Christ, friends. That's what he's calling us to do. Keep growing. Let go. Move on. Keep growing. Champions understand this. They push. They strive. They work for that. But if you're not careful, you can mess up. You recognize these guys from the USA? Fastest men in the world. You see that little circle there? What happened? The fastest men in the world did not complete 1 5-second transaction and were disqualified from the Olympics. It doesn't matter how fast you've got to where you're going. If you don't stay on it right now, you'll lose. Is that clear? Tell me that's clear. Is that clear? Okay. Friends, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says it this way. Read it with me. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your toil is not in vain in the Lord. It's not. That's what keeps me going. Because I can sit there, and what you'll say is this doesn't matter. Lie. Your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Don't lie to yourself. The reason you're quitting is because you don't think it matters. It always matters. It will always make a difference. Following Christ is going to affect somebody. Get on it. Go after it. Make progress. If you woke up breathing today, you've got another opportunity. I don't care how many days you've fallen down. If you woke up breathing today, and if you're here, I'm taking it to mean you did. Okay, some of you are looking a little stiff, but the rest of you, let's get moving. All right? Press on to maturity. Maturity is produced in those who press on by faith to fulfill God's purpose. It's a faith adventure. You hear me talking about striving and working? That's striving to depend. That's striving to see it God's way. Friends, why press on? Because you're not there yet. And the greatest impact of your life could yet be ahead of you if you press on. Moses' greatest impact? After 80. After 80. God has purposes and desires to fulfill in you. Moses changed because he pressed on. He moved from being what? A murderer to becoming a deliverer. David pressed on instead of being known as the eighth child. Some of you know what that's like in the family. To be the eighth child to be known as a giant killer. He pressed on, so he wasn't known just as a man who'd committed adultery. He was known as a worshiper, a man after God's own heart. Mark pressed on, so he wasn't known as a quitter. He became known as a servant, a biographer of Jesus Christ himself. Friends, your life reveals his life to others, and it will only keep doing that if you keep pressing on. Press on. The promiser is faithful. The promises are true. Press on. If you're here today and you have been reached some point, you say, I am not going to do that. I'm calling you to repent and to receive the Lord, to repent and agree with truth and say, I'll do whatever God tells me to do. I'll quit parking. I'll get moving. Press on. The Lord Jesus Christ died for your sin that you wouldn't stay put, but that you'd walk with him, that you'd follow him. And I'm inviting you today to trust him as Savior and as Lord. If you have never done that, today's the day to start the race. If you've already done that, you're in the race. Pick up the pace. Use your arms and run. Press on, press on, press on to maturity. Let's pray. Thank you. Jesus, for pressing on for us. You put up with all the rejection. You put up with denials. You put up with abandonment. You put up with beatings. Injustice. Crucifixion. Agony. Shame. You took it all for me. You took it all for us. Help us to see you. Help us to fix our eyes on you and to run this race with endurance. We want to be measured as those who are being conformed to Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm asking right now with each brother and sister that's here that you would show them that next step in each area of their life, that we wouldn't just move forward in one area, that we would grow radically towards Christ-likeness. And Father, I'm asking right now for a brother or a sister that's here, a man or a woman that's here, that's never chosen to follow Christ, that today they'd yield to you as Lord. They'd say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, save me. If you've never prayed that, I'd invite you to pray that right now. That, Lord, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, rose again from the dead. Forgive me for rebelling against you. Lord, save me. Is that the prayer of your heart? You just raise a hand saying, that's my prayer today. Lord, I need to be saved. Thank you. That's that prayer. If you've never said that to him, say that to him today. I want to be saved. Thank you. God's got that work going on. Lord, we love you for what you did for us. Help us to press forward. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.